Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to part two of a message of personal encouragement delivered in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church titled Upside Downside Up. We'll get right into the message. And a devastated harvest if you're a farmer. Believers from time to time will put up with gloominess and sadness, sorrow, mourning, even depression and heaviness and oppression. Believers will have to put up with sickness and all of these things. But as they sung to us tonight, there comes a point, even though the storm may be raging right now, there comes a point when Jesus comes walking on the water and he will calm the storm. He will heal the disease. He will bring away that spirit of heaviness and give you a garment of praise. In one of our recent services, people were worshiping the Lord down here, and I was down here in with them, and all at once I got a little nudge from the Lord, a little tap on the shoulder. And the Lord told me, he said, go and tell your wife, go and tell the singers and musicians that they need to start preparing to sing the song. There's a promise coming down your dusty road. And I obeyed the Lord, and I have confidence that they will sing it, and it will be powerful. And that is a wonderful truth. May fall, get up, and then fall, and get up, and then fall, and get up, and then fall, and get up. No matter how many times you fall, you're gonna be all right as long as you get back up just one more time. Praise God. Hallelujah. But as I mentioned, I want to draw your attention to this even more powerful truth. It's in the latter part of Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. He not only said that there's coming a day when this snow globe is going to get turned the right side up. He not only says there's coming a day when the Lord is going to bring me out of this, but he says this amazing thing. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. On the occasion of my 50th birthday, my goodness, it sounds so disheartening to say I'm a half a century old. Young people are like, what did you all eat for food on the ark? But here, a couple of years ago, on the occasion of my 50th birthday, you all organized such a wonderful party and gave me cards and gifts and things. And I keep those cards in a little bag in my office. And every now and then I get them out and I read them. And when life gets tough, I get them out and I read them. One of the gifts was a journal. It's a lovely little journal. It's just a leather-bound book with paper to record your thoughts. There's a little intriguing thing about the journal. And the intriguing thing is that the word journal on the front cover, gold foil embossed ink on the leather, it says the word journal in an interesting way. And I looked it up. It's called an ambigram. And an ambigram is very interesting. It means a word that says something from more than one viewpoint. And it can say something different. But this particular ambigram, if you hold the journal up facing you, it says journal. And when you turn it upside down, it says journal. No matter which way you flip it, it still says journal. It's very clever. And it made me think of The fact that no matter whether I'm upside up or upside down, the light of Christ still is the same. It literally, as the Apostle Paul said, hey, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He basically said, hey, I'm good either way, up or down, live or die. Or if I could say it this way, either way, we win. What a powerful truth. And when our life is turned upside down and we just keep living for God, and our life is turned upside down and we're sitting in darkness and we just keep worshiping God, that must make the devil so mad. I just love that. I love to do anything that would just aggravate him. Amen. There is a great wisdom in this. And this wisdom is about staying true and staying faithful when life isn't going your way. In Proverbs chapter 24, as a matter of fact, I want to take time to just read Proverbs chapter 24. And I'd like to do something that I've done from time to time. I'd like for you to read along with me in the King James Version while I read aloud from the New International Version. And Sister Eliana can put it up there. Which one do you have? Okay, put it up there in the King James Version. She's going to put it on the screen, the King James Version. I'm going to read it from the New International Version. And it has these wonderful tidbits of wisdom, these little commands, for instance, of what not to do. He starts off saying this, Proverbs 24:1, do not envy wicked men. You ever seen somebody wicked, man, driving that Lamborghini? They live in that big old fancy house. Don't envy them. He says this, don't even desire their company, for their hearts plot violence and their lips talk about making trouble. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and precious treasures. A wise man has great power, and a man of knowledge increases strength. For waging war, you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the assembly at the gate, he has nothing to say. He who plots evil will be known as a schemer. The schemes of folly are sin, and men detest a mocker. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Now, let me just pause and say, basically what that means is if you stumble when times get tough, you're weak. Circle back to round two. In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. He says, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. In other words, if you see evil that is threatening people's lives, you can't just turn a blind eye and do nothing about it. You've got to act. You've got to stop that slaughter. I'm just going to pause at this point and say, a few days ago, a wicked madman took a shotgun into a church in Texas, meaning to kill a bunch of people. What he didn't know is that there were some people in that church who went to church concealed carry. And I think they must have read this verse. One of them just happened to be a firearms safety instructor, and he was a good shot. The wicked man pulled out the shotgun and got off some pulls of the trigger, but the believer in their church, there were several who drew their concealed carry weapon, but the believer who did that, he drew his weapon and he fired once, took him out. There would have been many, many killed, but there were lives saved because he said, I will not stand by and do nothing when I can prevent slaughter. It behooves me at this point to tell you that you can find on the internet and you can watch video of what happened. And it reminded me of quite some months ago when we had a safety training session here at our church, and we invited other churches to it. And this was a thing that was sponsored by the state police. And they talked about what to do. And I would tell you that there was great advice given, because the assumption made is that many are going to need to be doing something and they don't have a weapon. And the idea was, get out of sight. And if you can get out of sight and then get out of the room, then do that. But thank God that somebody said, I'm not going to get out of sight. I'm not going to get out of the room. I'm going to go toward the danger. I'm going to confront him. And if God will help me, I'm going to stop this right now. And in that assembly, there were multiple people moving to do exactly that. I will tell you that if you watch the video, that even after the bangs from the shotgun begin to fill the room, there are some that are just kind of in shock. They don't know what to do and they don't do anything. They just keep sitting. I saw a few that were, they heard the bangs and realized gun, and then they leaned down into the pew to get out of sight. Good job. Good job. But there were some who said, excuse me, I'm going to approach you with something that's going to put an end to this. He says this in verse 12, but if you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the hearts perceive it? If you could have prevented the slaughter and you didn't, you're not going to be able to stand the day of judgment and say, oh, but Lord, I didn't know anything about it. He says, does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done? And then I love this next comparison. The scripture compares wisdom to the sweetness of honey. Brother Ken would love this verse. He says, eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not lie in wait like an outlaw against a righteous man's house. Do not raid his dwelling place. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again, but the wicked is brought down by calamity. And then he says, do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disprove and turn his wrath away from him. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of the wicked, for the evil man has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Fear the Lord and the king, my son, and do not join with the rebellious, for those two will send sudden destruction upon them, and who knows what calamities they can bring. These also are the sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judging is not good. Whoever says to the guilty, you are innocent, peoples will curse him and nations denounce him. But it will go well with those who convict the guilty, and rich blessing will come upon them. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause, or use your lips to deceive. Do not say, I'll do to him as he has done to me. I'll pay that man back for what he did. And then a little bit of closing wisdom about a good work ethic. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Is the Bible awesome, or is the Bible awesome? Now, I mentioned to you this powerful truth that when we're down, we trust he's going to flip us back up again. But there's an even more powerful truth, and that is that even while we're still upside down, the Lord is still with us. Back in 2005, a daily devotion blog posted an entry for a certain day. And much later, I found it and I saved a copy of it. I found it back in 2012. I think it had been posted in 2005. I saved a copy of it, and I would tell you the name of the man who wrote it, but I don't know his name. He signs it with two first names. He signs it Chris/Michael. Not Chris, last name Michael, Chris/Michael. So I don't know if it's written by two guys, one guy named Chris, another guy named Michael, or a guy who has a name and a nickname. I just don't know what to make of that. But I do want to read it for you tonight. He quotes 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Or if I could put it this way, upside down, but still trusting God. He says this, today's verse is one of great encouragement to know that even though we will go through trial after trial, we are able to get back up again and again and walk toward our goal, Christ. If we look at the verse before today, 2 Corinthians 4:7, we see how we are able to have such perseverance. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. As we've been talking in the Word of God these past couple of days, we've been reminded just how blessed we are to know and be given the very Spirit of God to dwell in us. He is the one who teaches us the Word of God and sheds light on the truth. In our human minds, we cannot fully see the truth because our flesh and our sinful spirit within us is in control and cannot understand nor see the beauty of the glory of the Lord. Today, we see another blessing and another action in which the Spirit of the Living God, does in our lives. That action is to renew and live and prosper within us. Though we are beat down daily, the Spirit of God within us thrives and lifts us up again. When Satan attacks us and pushes us down, we're lifted back up again and continue walking. Imagine how terrifying this is to our enemy, the devil. Looking at the spiritual side of it all and seeing the war that takes place, just think about it. We're fighting against Satan and we're constantly moving ahead at the same time. Satan comes along and punches us. The punch knocks us down, but immediately we get back up again and keep walking. He punches us again and adds a kick to our side. We get right back up again and keep walking. No matter what he does to us, we just keep getting right back up and walking again toward our goal, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. This is terrifying to our enemy. Nothing he does stops us. He says we're like that little Energizer bunny who keeps going and going and going and going. He says we're able to keep going because our source of strength, our energy, our source of perseverance and endurance, that source is the Spirit of God, which we have dwelling in us. As we see in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. Though we are beat up, punched, and kicked around. My goodness, can somebody say amen? He says, though we're beat up, punched, and kicked around, though we are cast down constantly by the devil, our inward man, the Spirit of God within us, is renewed daily, and we keep going. This physical body, the things we endure on this earth, they are all only temporary things. We are like pots or bottles filled with the Spirit of God. And though our outward shell is beat upon, the true and important thing is contained within and keeps us going. Sure, we may become chipped, cracked, or even broken. But if you think about it this way, the chipped, cracked, or broken pot or bottle leaks what is inside it. And that which is inside of us is the Spirit of God. God uses our brokenness, our chips and our cracks, to pour forth His Spirit and grace, not only to heal our own wounds, but to pour onto others as well, and to make very visible the grace and power of our Lord to shine forth through every crack. Praise God. He says, Satan, our enemy, knows how true all this is. If we look at the early church, they suffered such great physical persecution. They were basically hunted down and killed ruthlessly. Even today, this happens throughout the world, even in the United States of America. It's not as evident, though, because Satan would not like to have such inspiring stories of our brothers and sisters getting back up after being cast down. He doesn't want that to reach our knowledge. But let me tell you, it happens. Though, if we look at the way Satan has moved through the years, we see that at first he attacked the body of Christ with a frontal physical attack, being the most exerted. Yet the gospel of Jesus, our Savior, flourished even the more. So Satan learned from this, and he started focusing more on damaging the source of our perseverance. If he could do that, when he casts us down, what will lift us up again? If our outward man perishes, and yet our inward man is not renewed day by day, then what have we left? Satan knows that for us to be able to get back up again, we need to have our inward man renewed day by day. And the way we do that is by daily studying the Word of God, by daily spending time in prayer with our Heavenly Father. Satan knows if he can properly attack that and damage that, then he will truly be able to kick us around, and we'll not be able to firmly stand back up and keep moving forward. And our enemy does this by two main ways: poisoning us with false doctrine and blasphemous beliefs, and that in turn will make way for his other attack, stopping us from even seeking to renew the inward man. First, he poisons us, and then to make sure that we don't in the future realize we are being poisoned, he gets us to not even want to renew the inward man. And such attacks work for him, as is evident when we look at the sleeping, spiritually backslidden, spiritually dying Christians in this world who have become no strong enemies against the devil. Therefore, don't become confident that you will be able to get back up if you never feed or care for the inward man, the Spirit of God within us. We most certainly can get back up and walk on with the Spirit of the living God within us, but only with His Spirit within us. Cracked or broken, pots or bottles cannot leak anything if nothing is inside of them. He says, I love you and continue to keep you in my prayers. Remember always that though we are cast down, we get back up again. It is okay to realize and acknowledge that we are cast down, but let us never focus our attention on that trial or hardship, but instead set our eyes above and get back up to keep on walking. Praise God for His Spirit, His help, and His strength. Amen. Praise God. Now, today, I clicked just to see if that blog still exists, and it does, and you can still find that very post. And so I tell you that the blog is called workmenforchrist.org, and Sir Author, I don't know your full name, but my hat is off to you, well said. And so as I mentioned, what great news. Anybody here struggling with depression? His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Anybody here needing some help with disease and sickness? His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Anybody here struggling because the bank account always seems drowned or in the red? His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Whatever our challenge, we don't even have to wait until He delivers us. We can shout now, even while we're in the midst of the trial. Praise God. I want to reread 2 Corinthians 12:9. I want to read it from the New International Version. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. For My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about My weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Now, several months back, at some point, you know, at some point we, we as a church and we as a pastoral family and you as saints, somewhere a few months back, we realized, wow, we're not getting the old 1-2. We're getting the old 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8-9-12-15-32-48-122. It's just all getting hammered on us. And at some point, when somebody would say, "How are you doing?" I stopped saying, "I'm fine." And I started saying, "I'm fighting the good fight of faith." It's an honest answer. It's a good answer. It means I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I'm fine, but I'm also not going to gripe and complain. So I'm just going to use a nice scriptural term, and I'm going to tell you I'm fighting the good fight of faith. And you know what? Sometimes they say, "Praise the Lord, that's what you got to do." And they go on down the road because they didn't really want to know how I was doing. Their "how were you doing" was as much of a white lie as the "I'm fine" would have been. But some people, when I say I'm fighting the good fight of faith, they hear that and they catch on to it and they say, "Tell me what's going on." Those are some precious people. Those are people that care. And so without trying to sound like I'm complaining, I just tell them, I say, "Well, we're believing God for a brighter day. It's a dark time for us. And this happened and this and this and this and this and that and that and that and that." And pretty soon they realize, wow, you guys are really down under it. I come to you tonight with great news. Down under it, upside down, the light of Christ is still with us. The God of power is still with us. I think of those Hebrew boys in the middle of the fire in that furnace. And the king looked in and said, "I see someone who's in the fire with them." I'm telling you, folks, I know we haven't seen Him flip us back up yet, but He is with us. Even in the midst of the storm, He is with us. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, folks, I'm telling you, you don't have to wait until He heals you. You can shout now. You don't have to wait until the money makes it into the bank account. You can dance now. You don't have to wait until He heals your spirit. You can praise God right now. Oh, my goodness. Oh, let's lift up our voices and give praise to the Lord. Oh, I want to ask you by faith. I'm not asking you if He turned your snow globe right side up yet, but I want to ask you by faith to recognize, if my world is upside down and if my world is being shaken, it means the blessing of God is upon me. I want to ask you to get out in the aisle and begin to give God some praise. Somebody ought to run around this church. Somebody ought to dance before the Lord. Oh, mine enemy, when I fall, don't you rejoice against me. I shall arise.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.